Dengar looked around himself. I can't believe that this place was any more cheerful when it was alive. He and Boba Fett were surrounded by the tangled fibrous walls of what had been Kudar Mubat's web. Enough structural integrity had been achieved that the main chamber and a few of the narrow corridors leading from it could hold a breathable atmospheric pressure. That made working in the reconstructed spaces easier, if nowhere near enjoyable. Fett had explained it all to them, how it was going to work, the only way it could. If the past held the key to the present, then the past had to be broken into and ransacked. Kudar Mubat was the link to Neela's stolen past, and the key to Dengar and Boba Fett profiting from it. If that past had been important enough to steal from her and hide the traces of the theft through a deep memory wipe of her brain, then the chances would be good that it would be worth a good deal of credit to find it and restore it once again. The scent of credits was even stronger with the other possibility connected to the theft of Neela's past. Finding out who or what it was that had been behind the failed plot to implicate the late Prince Shizor in the raid by Imperial stormtroopers on a moisture farm on Tatooine. A raid that had been the trigger, or at least part of it, for Luke Skywalker's transformation into a leader and legend of the Rebel Alliance. As Boba Fett, with his keen instinct for profit, had pointed out, any time that a trail led that close to the center of major events in the galaxy, with threads dangling around not only a creature who had been the leader of the richest and most powerful criminal organization in all the systems, but also around Emperor Palpatine and his most feared servant, Lord Darth Vader, then the terminus of that trail was likely to be buried under a mountain of credits and influence. All it would take would be bringing a certain assembler back from the dead, so that its memory of those events and plots and schemes could be riffled through. Bringing Kudar Mubat back from the dead, Fett had explained, wouldn't be impossible. The cockpit area of the Hound, Fett had related to Dengar and Neela the results of his previous investigations into the nature of such assembler creatures. Knowing things about one's business associates always gave one an advantage, especially if they were matters of which the other creature was ignorant. And Kudar Mubat had never shown any great curiosity about its own genetic background or physiology, or whether other assemblers existed anywhere else in the galaxy. Kudar Mubat had been content to consider itself unique, with nothing else like it anywhere in the known systems. It made negotiations with clients easier to have the confidence that there was no other arachnoid assembler whose services they could engage. But there are other assemblers, Boba Fett had told Dengar and Neela. I found them. And even more important, I learned from them. Just as an individual assembler such as Kudar Mubat or Balance Sheet could generate and extrude additional cerebro-neural tissue in the form of an extended nervous system running through a web, so could that tissue be regenerated from the outside. A constantly monitored and adjusted stimulating pulse would actually restore the strands of dead tissue to functioning life, with the synaptic terminals seeking each other out and knitting themselves back together. Standing now inside the reconstructed web, Dengar looked down at the black shimmering cables looped near his boots. Neela was still back aboard the Hound's Tooth, which was moored alongside, making sure that the necessary energy and controlling data kept flowing from the onboard computers. There was no danger of her disengaging the ship and leaving them stranded inside the web. She was more intent on breaking through to the past and its secrets than either bounty hunter could have been. Monitoring the onboard computer, generating the control data being fed into Kudar Mubat's web, took only a fraction of Neela's attention, so she could set about her own agenda. Within seconds, a screen full of information appeared in front of her that had been locked away beneath Boba Fett's own personal security codes. I know how to do this, she thought. Punched a few more commands into the computer. Whoever she had been in the past, that person had possessed considerable technical expertise. At least, thought Neela, I know the name I'm looking for. She had already figured out that Boba Fett had been holding back on her. She had said the name Nil Pasundum to him long before they had arrived at this point, and she had instantly known from his reaction that the name meant something to him as well. Neela keyed in the name and initiated a core deep search function. It took only a few seconds for the results to come up on the display screen. Below the man's unprepossessing image was a summary of personal data. Nothing in its details caught Neela's eye until the very last notation, which indicated that the man had died in one of Slave One's holding cages, en route to being delivered by Boba Fett to the creatures who had put up the bounty for him. Feverishly, Neela punched in another string of commands, bringing up the last of the files associated with the name Mil Pasundum. A cursory autopsy indicating the cause of death as autoasphyxiation. A visual scan of markings that Pasundum had managed to scratch into the metal floor of the holding cage. Wait a minute. Neela leaned closer to the display screen as she stared at the image before her. Just some lines scratched into blank metal. A circle. And a triangle inside the circle. The three points just touching the enclosing line. And three stylized letters that only a person who had seen them since childhood and who had been taught their meaning would recognize. The archaic letters spelled out the initials KDY for Kuat Drive Yard. As she leaned back in the pilot's chair, eyes closed, the circle and inner triangle that Nil Pasundum had scratched in the floor of the holding cage so long ago transformed itself into the ancient gold-worked emblem of the planet Kuat's noble families. And one of them, she mused, is my family. Though she didn't know everything, such as what had happened to have brought her so far from home, she knew her name, Katil. She whispered the name aloud, as though calling softly to that person who had been lost and now was found again. Katil of Kuvalt. The empty eyes opened, but were still blind. Yet Kudar Mubat, or the hollowed thing that had been Kudar Mubat, seemed to sense the presence of other creatures. Slowly, the small triangular head rose from where it had shrunk into the chitinous thorax.
Is there business to transact?
The assembler's voice, which had once been so gratingly high-pitched, was now a rasping whisper.
I won't say it's good to meet up with you again, Kudar Mubat.
Standing close to the arachnoid assembler's withered form, Boba Fett held the black cable looped in one gloved hand. The cable's surface shimmered, seeming much more imbued with life than the grayed-out thing in the nest, as the power and controlling data continued to stream from the ship tethered alongside the web. But then, I never much cared for our little meetings.
You are so unkind. Boba Fett, it is Fett, isn't it? I can recognize your voice, but it's so dark in here now. I can't see you.
It's not dark, you fool.
From Boba Fett's hand, the black cable ran into the narrow cleft right behind the assembler's head. A metal needle had been inserted into the knot of ganglia inside the thinly armored skull.
You're dead. Get used to it.
Very clever of you, managing this.
The dry husk of the assembler shifted in the flaccid remains of the nest as though its vacuum-blunted nerve endings were capable of feeling discomfort.
I didn't know such a thing was possible.
One of its hind limbs scratched at the inserted cable, but was unable to dislodge it.
I'm not sure I care for it.
Don't worry. It's only a temporary condition. Soon as we're done here, I'll pull the plug. And you can go back to being what you were a few moments ago. A corpse floating in space.
The triangular head slowly nodded.
What would you like to know? Boba Fett.
Stepping closer to the assembler's revivified corpse, Boba Fett brought his own visor-shielded gaze closer to the blind one. I want to know about a client of yours. His name was Nil Pasundum. The deracinated laugh from Kudar Mubat's mouth was like the claws of rats scuttling across crumpled plimsoplast.
A client of mine. You are so rarely wrong, Boba Fett. But this time, you are.
Don't lie to me. Boba Fett appeared as if he were about to jerk the black cable like a noose around the dead assembler's neck. I know all about the money you received from Nil Pasundum. I found the record of it aboard Reed Duptum's ship Venisectrix.
You might very well have,
wheezed Kudar Mubat's corpse.
But Pasundum was merely, what is the term criminal cats use? A bagman. He brought the credit here to the web, to me, and communicated certain important details of what his client desired. I then made certain other arrangements on behalf of that third party, such as the hiring of Reductum to carry out two very delicate assignments, which, alas, he never lived to do.
Boba Fett grabbed the dead assembler's narrow triangular head, almost wrenching it from the stalk-like neck, as he turned the blind eyes toward himself. Tell me, who was the client? Who paid Reductum for those jobs?
A good question, my dear Fett.
The dead assembler managed to sneer at him.
A very good question indeed. And how I wish I could answer it for you. And for myself.
What are you talking about? Boba Fett took his hand away from the other creature. You know who it was. You'd have to know.
Correction. I did know when I was alive.
A macabre, tittering laugh came from within the assembler's hollowed body.
You and your partner here have done a very good job of reassembling my poor sundered web, but not a perfect job. There are, I regret to inform you, large gaps in my memory, things I cannot remember.
The blind eyes seemed to regard Boba Fett with amusement.
You've come all this way for nothing. How unfortunate.
I'll tell you what's unfortunate, said Boba Fett. Unfortunate is how you're gonna feel when I'm done with you. You're not gonna hold out on me this time.
What are you going to do about it?
The assembler's laughter turned into a grating cackle.
100 different ways of killing at your disposal. I can just see you standing there bristling with all your weapons like a walking arsenal. And all of them useless now.
The assembler's words unnerved Dengar more than anything else that happened so far in this roughly woven mausoleum floating in space. Come on! He stepped forward and grabbed Boba Fett by the elbow. It's right. There's nothing you can do. Just watch. Fett pulled his arm away from Dengar's grasp. Maybe the problem isn't whether you're dead or alive, Kudar Mubat. Maybe you're just not alive enough. Boba Fett reached behind the assembler's jointed neck and grabbed the controls of the pulsator device, leaving the gleaming metal needle still inserted into the cerebral cortex. That can be changed. Looking down at the cable, Dengar saw its surface shimmer with a wildly increasing intensity. At the same time, he heard a crackling and tearing noise from the center of the chamber. He looked up and saw the assembler's corpse thrashing convulsively, the jointed stick-like limbs pulled out from beneath the torn abdomen and whipping in the air as though a windstorm had animated the black, leafless branches of a winter forest. Kudar Mubat's triangular face was contorted with the energy surging behind the blind eyes, the angled mouth stretched open in a silent scream.
Boba Fett still had his hand upon pulsator device's controls, his Durasteel-like grip forcing the assembler's overloaded corpse to stay in the hollow of the flaccid nest. Now do you remember? The assembler made no answer. A couple of its smaller, weaker limbs detached themselves from the corpse, flying across the chamber and strike the curved wall. Hey! Dengar looked around him with alarm. Flaring sparks ran through the neural fibers like quick lightning, leaving behind the scent of ozone and burning tissue. Maybe you better back off on that. This place is tearing itself apart. Echoed Dengar's words, the web shuddered hard enough to knock him from his feet. Before he could get back up, a blaze of light seemed to explode in the main chamber ahead of him. In its glare, Boba Fett was knocked back as the assembler disintegrated. Its stick-like limbs flying through tumbled arcs and away from the atomized fragments of his body. The noise from the explosion had deafened Dengar for a moment. Shaking his head to clear it, he was suddenly aware of another, even more threatening sound. The ragged ends of the structural fibers around him fluttered and streamed, pennant-like, drawn by the slowly increasing roar of the web's atmosphere rushing through an exterior breach. Dizzied by the oxygen thinning in his nostrils and lungs, Dengar gazed around in panic at the heaving walls of the surrounding web. What's happening? Dengar gestured toward the tattered remains of Kudar Mubat. It's dead. It has to be. There's nothing left of it. He gazed around in panic at the heaving walls of the surrounding web. Why is it still...
You idiot.
Boba Fett shoved him away from the assembler's nest and toward the web's main corridor.
We're under attack.
Dengar felt the heat of a laser cannon bolt on his back as he ran through the collapsing, disintegrating web. Another bolt hit, bursting apart the curve of structural fibers directly above him. Sparks and blackened shards of tissue whirled around Dengar as he felt himself both rising and falling into darkness. She had been turning over the words inside her head. The words, a name, her true name. Neela had exited from the security-locked files that she had broken into. All the things that Boba Fett hadn't told her, that he himself didn't know the value of, and shut down that part of the ship's computers. A sound, or rather silence, the absence of sound, broke in her contented meditations. Looking down, she saw that the black cable that Boba Fett had rigged from the ship's computer to the reconstructed web of Kudar Mubat had suddenly ceased its pulsating shimmer. She looked up to the forward viewport and saw the web disintegrating into chaos and flame. Barely a second had passed before she was able to spot the source of the destruction. In the distance, a ship had appeared, firing its laser cannon. Another coruscating bolt tore through the web even as she watched. Instinctively, she grabbed for the navigational controls on the panel in front of her. Dengar struggled to remain conscious, knowing that death was on the other side of the blackness, threatening to engulf him. Then the prow of the houndstooth tore through the exterior of the web. Through the mire transparent steel, he just barely recognized Neela at the control panel.
It's too late. I'll never...
Those were his last thoughts, as the blackness exploded from inside his skull. Something grabbed Dengar around his bursting chest, picking him up bodily and diving with him toward the hull of the houndstooth. A rush of oxygen filled his aching lungs, and he was able to see a blurred vision of Boba Fett standing just inside the airlock door, smashing his gloved fist upon the small control pad at its edge. The door sealed shut, and the enclosed space repressurized itself.
All right.
Dengar managed to wheeze out a few painful words to Boba Fett.
Now, we're even.
Boba Fett didn't seem to hear him. As Dengar watched, the other bounty hunter started climbing the ladder up to the ship's cockpit. The thruster engine controls were under Neela's palm, ready for her to shove them forward and send the houndstooth bursting out of the remains of the entangling web. Before she could move, she heard something from the hatchway behind. Boba Fett shoved Neela away from the control panel, and she watched as he slapped row after row of weapon systems controls. Once the Hound's laser cannons had all been brought operational, Fett hit the thruster control. The attacking vessel was centered in the cannon's targeting systems. He snapped on the comm unit.
You can fire, or you can try to run.
The indicator light on the control panel showed that the ship he had hailed was receiving the transmission.
Either one won't do you much good.
What a surprise,
came the voice over the comm unit speaker. It sounded amused rather than angry or frightened.
I did not know it was you, Boba Fett. Believe me, if I had, I wouldn't have fired upon you.
Said hit the comm unit button again.
Balance sheet. I could blow you away right now, and I'd be justified in doing that.
Very well. I agree that I owe you an explanation for these otherwise inexplicable actions. So please, by all means, let us have a conference. It would give me great pleasure if you accept my hospitality here aboard my ship.
Bring your ship alongside, said Boba Fett.
He reached over and broke the comm unit connection.
What?
Neela stared at him in amazement.
You trust this creature?
About as much as I trust anyone. You included.
The last comment caught her by surprise. It wasn't the first time that Neela had felt his glance, hidden by the dark visor of his helmet, penetrate to some remote part of her spirit. She wondered if he could somehow discern her thoughts, her slip. Was he aware that she had learned so much of her own past while he and Dengar had been over in the reconstructed web?
But we didn't find the answers we were looking for,
continued Boba Fett.
We could bring the dead, or at least one of them, back to life, but Kuda Mubat didn't know anything. So, balance sheet is our only lead.
Boba Fett headed for the cockpit's hatchway.
So we talked to it.
Balance sheet perched on an eye-level ledge near where Boba Fett stood.
How delighted I am to see you here. Really, it's been too long.
Not long enough, growled Boba Fett. I have a real good memory for creatures who steal credits from me.
Oh, that.
The assembler dismissed the comment with a wave of a tiny claw tip.
Given the exigencies of your present situation, I'd hardly think it wise of you to go on brooding about such matters.
Balanchine turned its jagged smile toward the helmeted bounty hunter.
You're looking for answers, but I don't think you've found any so far. Have you?
Not the ones we wanted.
The narrow triangular head gave a small shake.
I could have told you that your search would be pointless. Because, believe me, I've already tried. I had heard about your inquiries into the possibilities presented by the nature of arachnoid assembler physiology, Boba Fett, and so I was prompted to find out a few things on my own. Not to go rummaging through the memories of my predecessor. Alas,
continued Balanchine,
it was too little avail. There were many mysteries that it would have been most advantageous for me to have cleared up, including the arrangements that Kuda Mubat had made with Nopa Sondam and Reetaptam. As we both know, Boba Fett, those kinds of schemes can often have a great deal of credit tied up with them. Sometimes to carry them out, and sometimes to keep silent about them.
Boba Fett's shielded gaze held the small assembler without moving.
And which one of those are you interested in, balance sheet?
I don't really have a choice, since, as I said, I did not find the answer to those questions. If I'm to get any share of profits out of this situation, I have to join forces with you and assist you with your quest for those answers.
How?
Neela broke into the exchange between the assembler and the bounty hunter.
You already said you hadn't found out any more than we did.
Calm yourself, said Balanchine. You simply believe there's nowhere else to look, and that's not the case. If you had the actual evidence, the original that was inside the modified cargo droid, then you might be able to analyze it for clues that you didn't have time to find before.
The jet smile on the assembler's triangular face grew wider.
And, in fact, I know where the evidence is.
For the first time, Neela saw something take Boba Fett by surprise.
Let me tell you something more, said the smiling assembler. Some very powerful forces are looking for that evidence. A representative from one of the most powerful men in the galaxy searched me out to inquire whether I knew its whereabouts. But it gets even more interesting. The person looking for information about the evidence's whereabouts seems to bear a considerable hostility toward you, Boba Fett. Or else he simply doesn't want to risk the possibility of you finding it before he does. Because he's the one who ordered the bombing raid back on Tatooine, in which it came very close to being blown to atoms.
Balance sheet, multiple eyes glittering, leaned forward from its perch.
The person in question is Kuat of Kuat, the head of Kuat Drive Yards.
Neela was unable to stifle a gasp of surprise. She blinked and saw Boba Fett glancing in her direction. He said nothing but turned back toward the assembler.
How do you know it was Kuat of Kuat who did all that?
Balance Sheet shook its head.
I know it was Kuat Kuat who ordered the bombing raid, because his representative told me so. Kuat wanted me to be assured of his desire to have you dead, so that I would be confident of getting paid in case I came across any news of your whereabouts. And as to why he'd want you dead, and why he'd be interested in this fabricated evidence against the late Prince Shizor...
Balance Sheet spread his raised claw tips apart.
Of that, I have not the slightest notion. But it does confirm in my mind that if we had what he was looking for, we'd be able to force him to pay a substantial sum for it.
Then the only problem, said Dengar, is getting our hands on what he wants.
Balance Sheet's jagged smile almost seemed to split its triangular face in half.
How fortunate, then, that your new business associate, myself, knows how the fabricated evidence can be gotten. It's all paradoxical. You've come all this way, and it's back on Tatooine. You see, when Boba Fett managed to chase Bossk off Slave One, the fabricated evidence went with him inside the emergency escape pod he used to get away.
And how do you know this?
Boba Fett regarded the assembler with skepticism.
My friend, you've been out of the loop the whole time that you've been making the journey to this remote sector. If you were in contact with your own information sources the way I am with mine, you might have heard an interesting piece of news that's been circulating through some of the seedier meeting places of the galaxy. It seems that your fellow bounty hunter is holed up in the Mos Eisley spaceport back on Tatooine, and he has a certain item to sell, and he's looking for the right buyer for it.
I was wondering when you'd show up.
Bossk's unpleasant smile lit up in the shadows of the rear booth, the dim lights of the cantina glinting off the full array of his fangs.
I would have been real disappointed if you hadn't. I mean, disappointed in you.
Boba Fett slid into the opposite side of the booth.
Hope you haven't been waiting.
Oh, I've been waiting, all right.
Grimly brooding anger tinged Bossk's words.
I've been waiting for this moment for a long time.
Don't make a big deal about this. I just came here to do business with you, that's all.
Yeah, and that's the moment I'm talking about. The moment when I've got something that you want. Not only that you want, but that you need.
Bossk leaned across the table, letting his eyes narrow to slit.
How much you going to pay?
The other bounty hunter gazed right back at him.
I wasn't planning to pay anything.
Boba Fett reached under the table. His hand came back up with a blaster pistol in it, which he pointed between Boss's eyes.
So why don't you just hand the goods over to me? And that way, I won't have to kill you.
The blood in Bossk's veins, never warmer than the surrounding atmosphere, had suddenly chilled.
Look, let's think about this.
There's no need to, said Fett evenly. It's a straightforward proposition. Hand over the material that you found inside the cargo droid when we're rummaging around in Slave One, and I won't kill you. What could be fairer than that? Mutually rewarding as well. I'd have what I came here for, and you'd still be alive.
The darkly shining metal in the other bounty hunter's hand mesmerized Bosk.
All right.
For a moment longer, Bosk remained paralyzed. Then he found himself slowly shaking his head.
No, I won't,
he said flatly.
I won't do it.
What did you say?
The blaster didn't move, but a minute fraction of surprise sounded in Boba Fett's voice.
You heard me?
Bosk's heart was racing now.
I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to give you the stuff I found inside the droid. Go ahead and fire. I don't care.
A certain exhilaration came with those words. Bosk felt absolutely free for the first time in his existence.
You know, I just realized something,
he marveled aloud.
That's how you always won before. It was because you didn't care whether you lived or died or whether you won or lost. So, you always wound up surviving, and you always won.
Bosk slowly shook his head, admiring his own sudden insight.
That's amazing.
Bosk found himself smiling with genuine pleasure, even though he knew he might very well be enjoying the last few seconds of his life.
You know, I really should have figured this out before. Go ahead. Shoot.
A shadow fell across the table. The cantina's bartender had pushed way through the crowd right up to the side of the rear booth.
Hold on, you two.
The man's lumpish face was shiny with sweat.
We don't want any trouble here.
It's a little late for that. Boba Fett swung the muzzle of the blaster around toward the bartender.
Isn't it? Now, wait a minute.
The bartender held up his hands, palms outward, as though they were capable of stopping a blaster bolt.
I was just trying to help you work things out, that's all.
And so you can. With his free hand, Boba Fett reached into one of the pouches in his battle armor and drew out a data transfer chip. With his thumb, he punched in a few quick commands on the chip's miniaturized input module.
Take this and have the balance in my local cash account deposited in the name and identity scan of this individual here,
he indicated Bosk with a nod of his helmet.
Keep the 5% service fee for yourself.
Bearing the transfer chip in his hand like a precious relic, the bartender turned and hurried toward the cantina office.
All right, said Boba Fett.
He tucked the blaster back into its holster.
There. You've won.
A tiny bell note sounded from a pouch on one of the straps crossing Bosk's scale-covered chest. He fumbled out the small readout card with his own account balance encoded on it. The chain, the readout figure, widened Bosk's eyes into almost perfect circle.
I won?
Bosk lifted his gaze from the readout to his own reflection in the dark visor of Fett's helmet.
Look, said Boba Fett. I've paid you.
He pointed to the readout in Bosk's claws.
So, that's my half of the business we're doing here. Your turn. Where's the stuff you took from my ship?
Back at the hover stack, where I've been staying.
Bosk gave him the directions, the exact route down Mos Eisley's twisting alleys.
Move the pallet, and there's a hole underneath, covered with a board.
Fett slid out of the booth.
Make it last, he said, pointing to the readout in Bosk's hand. Might be all you'll see for a while.
Fett turned and strode away. Bosk sat staring at the display for a few moments longer. Then he stood up from the booth and immediately halted in place. The cantina crowd was massed solid in front of him, eyes of the galaxy's various shapes and colors regarding him, with none of the creatures saying a word. Then, slowly, the silence was broken, as first a few individuals, then the entire crowd, began applauding and raucously cheering. A drunken harf with shining red goggle-like eyes and an elongated snout put a massive arm around Bosk's shoulders.
They don't like you any more than we ever did,
said the creature.
We just never saw anything like that before. Not with Boba Fett, that is.
Sure.
Bossk nodded in appreciation of the other's words.
It means a lot to me, too.
Kuat turned toward the voice coming from the comm unit speaker in his private quarters.
We found them,
announced the absent Kodir of Kubolt, security head for all of Kuat Drive Yard. I'm not so much concerned about them. The person we need to locate is Boba Fett.
Don't worry,
said Kodir.
I wouldn't have put the link through if I hadn't succeeded at the task given to me.
Kuat made no reply. In truth, he'd had a better personal relationship with Fernald, his previous security head. The only problem being that Fernald had been a traitor to both Kuat and to Kuat Drive Yard by being part of the scheme to wrest control of the corporation away from him and turn it over to the greediest and most ambitious factions among the ruling families. If it hadn't been for Kodir of Kuvolt, Fernald and the conspirators he'd fallen in with would very likely have succeeded in their plans. So Kodir had earned both Kuat's respect and his trust, no matter how much her tough, even brutal mannerisms grated against his own instinct.
So now we know where Boba Fett is, Kuat spoke into the comm unit mic on top of the lab bench. Is he still aboard the ship called the Hound's Tooth?
That's how I found him.
A tone of self-satisfaction was audible in Kodir's voice. Have you got the ship in your weapon sights?
Not yet,
said Kodir.
We're out of range for that, but the problem can be corrected very shortly.
Then do so. Kuat had already made his determination about the bounty hunter's fate. And when you've locked onto the target, proceed with its destruction. I want complete annihilation of the Hound's Tooth and all living creatures aboard it.
Very well. I'll report back when the operation is concluded.
From the faraway ship, Kodir broke off the comm unit connection.
You found it, said Neela.
She had spotted the object, a black rectangle a few inches thick, in one of Boba Fett's hands. The data recording unit trailed a few loose connectors as though Fett had been working on it while en route back to the ship.
You got it from Bossk.
That poor guy. Dengar shook his head pityingly. I hope Bossk was smart enough not to put up too much of a fight.
Who cares about him?
Neela could not conceal her impatience.
You got it. That's all that matters. Correction!
Dengar pointed to the rear scanner display.
We've got a KDY security cruiser on our tail.
I'll take care of that.
Boba Fett took over the pilot's chair and slammed the controls to their maximum. And nothing happened.
The engines have cut out,
said Dengar. With a couple of commands, Boba Fett brought a set of data scrolling across the smaller display screen. He pointed to the last line.
A coded pulse was received from the vector directly behind us, obviously from the KDY cruiser. The pulse was picked up and acted upon by some other part of the Hound's operational circuitry.
Dengar pointed to the viewport.
We're moving. They've got a tractor beam locked on us.
A voice came over the comm unit speaker.
This is Kodir of Kuvolt, head of security for Kuat Drive Yard.
A female's voice crisply articulated.
Am I correct in assuming that the bounty hunter Boba Fett is aboard this ship?
Fett hit the transmit button on the panel.
You're speaking to him now.
Then I'll be transferring over with a couple of my people. I want to have a meeting with you, and I don't want any funny stuff.
What do you think I'm likely to try, said Fett, with a cruiser sitting on top of me?
Just keep that in mind.
The comm unit connection broke off. Kodir of Kuvolt, flanked by two KDY security operatives, proved to be an arrogantly impressive figure, with the bottom of a full cape brushing the heels of her outspread boots. Neela found herself gazing intently at the woman's face, certain for any clue that might be revealed there. Boba Fett folded his arms across his chest.
So, what is it that you want?
Please. A smile lifted one corner of Kodir's mouth. Let's not make this any more difficult than necessary. You're aware, I imagine, that Kuat of Kuat seeks a certain item.
And don't bother saying that you don't have it. Kodir of Kuvolt signaled with one hand to her accompanying KDY security operatives. They immediately drew blaster pistols from the holsters on their belts and covered the two bounty hunters and Neela with them. Hand over this fabricated evidence and you won't be killed. Dengar broke the resulting silence.
It's up in the cockpit, stashed by the pilot's chair.
You idiot!
Neela glared at him.
Now we'll never...
One of the KDY security operatives had already climbed up the ladder to the cockpit. He returned, carrying in one hand the object Boba Fett had brought back from Tatooine.
Perfect.
Kodir looked at the object that the operative had just given her. She turned it over and examined the code marks on the underside.
Exactly what I came for.
Kodir looked up at Boba Fett. It's been a pleasure doing business with you. I've enjoyed it so much that I'm actually going to keep my end of our bargain. After all, you've been useful to Co-op Drive Yards in the past. There's no saying when we might find you handy to around again. Holding the black data recording unit in the crook of one arm, Kodir smiled even less humorously than before. I not only got what I originally wanted, but I found an unexpected bonus as well. He gestured to Neela. You're coming with us. Neela stiffened, regarding the other woman with suspicion.
Why should I?
Oh, I could give you all sorts of reasons, but there's really just one important one as far as you're concerned. Kodir of Kuvolt lifted her head to one side, studying Neela's reactions.
You've got questions, don't you?
I know you do.
Well, I've got the answers to them.
That should make it a simple decision for you. A moment passed, then Neela slowly nodded. Kodir pushed her forward.
Let's get going. We've got an appointment to keep.
In the cockpit of the Houndstooth, Dengar shone a handheld work light through the access panel.
I still don't understand how they were able to stop us.
It's obvious. This ship must have been retrofitted, probably an updated weaponry targeting system, at Kuat Drive Yard. They must put a hidden cutout device into every ship they work on in case they ever need to disable one of their custom ships. And that device can be triggered by a simple remote transmitter, which, of course, they would have aboard their own security division vessel.
Can you fix it?
It'll take some work. Typical KDY job, very well engineered.
Dengar stepped back as the other bounty hunter got to his feet.
I got another question. When we get this ship up and running, what happens then?
Then we head for the planet Kuat, said Boba Fett. I don't let anyone, not even Kuat of Kuat, take things from me without paying for them.
Neela gazed at the figure before her in the security head's private quarters.
I've got a lot of questions. I think you might have the answers to. The things I've lost, my past, and my name.
Kodir stepped toward her.
And you've had no luck finding them. What a shame.
Neela didn't correct her, though she could have.
My name, she thought to herself, is Katil of Kuvolt.
There had been a spark between her gaze and Kodir's when the other woman had come aboard the Hound. Neela had seen her eyes widen, a reaction that had been swiftly caught and controlled. In the past, whose shapes were still frustratingly vague, Neela knew that things had happened between this Kodir of Kuvolt and herself, and they hadn't all been pleasant. So if this Kodir of Kuvolt, with all of her connections to the planet Kuat and to the mysterious figure Kuat of Kuat, was going to play it cagey about revealing what she knew, then Neela would too. Neela remained standing.
Where are we going?
Where?
Kodir smiled.
We're going to the place where all your answers are waiting for you.
You mean we're going to Kuat?
The words slipped out of Neela's mouth before she could stop them. Kodir's brow creased as she studied Neela for a moment.
Very near the world of Kuat, if that's what you meant. But there's another Kuat, a man, Kuat of Kuat. And we won't be seeing him just yet. A little more business that needs to be taken care of before that can happen.
And then both of you will be in for a bit of a surprise. Neela listened but did not reply, but inside her the twin strands of caution and suspicion grew and knotted around each other. The comm specialist made his report to Kuat of Kuat.
There has been another person added to the Rebel Alliance fleet currently above our facility. Non-military, but of considerably high rank from what we've been able to determine. Possibly of negotiating attaché level.
Indeed, said Kuat. And do we have access to what's going on up there?
The comm specialist smiled.
Excellent access, sir. From this closer range, we had no problem sending out a microprobe unit with stealth auguring capabilities. We can hear everything that's being said. Both Rojdent and this attaché appear to be waiting for the arrival of another person, with whom they'll be having some kind of meeting.
And do we know, said Kuat of Kuat, who that other person is?
A fraction of a second passed before the comm specialist spoke.
It's Kodir of Kuvok, sir. That's who it appears they're waiting for. And she's on her way. We've picked up the approach signals from the cruiser she's aboard.